Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. Today we're celebrating the Feast of St. Bartholomew the Apostle. It's just so good for us as the people of God to remember and to give thanks for the brothers and sisters who have gone before us, who really are incarnations of the call. They're examples for us to aspire to and to have great confidence in. Confidence that is confidence in the Lord's promise, confidence that He would give us all the strength we need for the heart that wants God. The heart that wants God is the heart that's going to get God. You know, the secret to holiness, the secret to a fruitful life is just desire. Is desire for God. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek, be hungry, be thirsty, pursue, and God will do the rest. It's that abandonment of ourselves to Him. And Lord, we thank You for St. Bartholomew and all the saints and all those who have gone before us who are marked with the sign of faith. May we ourselves, may each one of us be marked in that way. May we make the most of the time and have a response to the grace, Lord, that You're giving for us to be awake, living with renewed minds, walking as disciples, radically belonging to You, and not being duped and fooled by the world and pursuing idols that leave us empty. Well, the first reading today from the Feast of St. Bartholomew is from Revelation chapter 21. It said, the angel spoke to me, saying, come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. There's so much right there in that one line. And we see in the book of Revelation what is communicated. The Spirit and the bride say, come. God's plan is to prepare a bride. God the Father's plan is to prepare a bride for His Son, the church. A spotless bride is what the Holy Spirit is producing. And a bride that looks like the Son. Isn't it amazing when we think about the reality of God's plan and purpose and the place that human beings are meant to, the role we're meant to play, and the privileged place and position we're called to and elevated to in Jesus' saving work of bringing about a new creation. The new creation ultimately is a bride. That is the church, alive with the life of Christ in her, and our hearts are burning with fire. The fire of God's love is in us, the love of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit cries out, not only Father, which the Spirit, you know, we're taught, Jesus came to reveal to us so clearly that we're children of God, but our heart cries out, the Spirit cries out, come, Lord. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. It's the church that is waiting faithfully for His return. We've heard the ways of the apostles described it, this patient endurance that we have as the people of God, our eyes set on the return of the Lord, the hope that's there. One of the strategies of the devil, friends, is to get us to, he wants to distract our gaze. He wants us to not look forward to the coming of the Lord. He doesn't want us to think too much about what awaits us, what's our destiny. He wants us to get caught up in the angst and the anxiety and the darkness that's in the world, the confusion, the fear-dominated, disordered energy that's in the world. And he wants us to be discouraged, be fearful, to feel lost and afraid, to not be able to be free, to trust, to love. He wants us to hunker down and see our neighbor as our enemy, to see the world in this life as a zero-sum game in which, you know, the whole point is to battle, to accumulate as much as you can get personally, to secure your name, your fame, your comfort, whatever it is, your pleasure, your security fundamentally. You know, so he wants us to be caught up in that whirlwind that I have to be the one to look after myself and protect myself. And I don't have time to think about these far-off things like the hope of heaven and the return of the Lord. I got to have my feet on solid ground right here, and I can't be distracted. Plus, I have to get about fixing the world and improving the world. And we can miss the right ordering that actually makes us fruitful in this world. And so we get caught up in the energy and the angst of this world, which is really, friends, and it's like an unfaithful, if the church is a bride, it's like a bride that lost its love and interest in the groom and is now living for something else or running after someone else. And the world lives that way, lives apart from God. And then out of it comes the inevitable living out of a different energy source. Maybe that's the right way to say it. I know, you know, the disordered energy in a fallen world, in the power of sin, the reign of death, as Paul calls it, the power of the world, the flesh, and the devil. These are dominions. These are real powers. And they're disordering, and they can dominate our lives. And Jesus came to free us from that. Like Paul will say in different places, like, why are you still living like you're in the world if you've died with Christ? Why are you under those dominating powers? You need to leave the world, that dimension of the world, and belong to Christ, like a bride to the bridegroom, being enamored by him, being radically in love with him, being secure in his love, moving toward him, living with him, anticipating the full union we're going to have with him. Because the most fruitful way we can live in this earth is to have our eyes on Christ. Because there we're going to be able to live in correspondence with what the Holy Spirit is doing in us, producing in us the flowering, the full flowering of faith, hope, and love. And only a person who's living in that and from that source, the source which is Christ, the one who made us, through whom and for whom we are made, it's the Spirit that puts us in right order. It's the Holy Spirit that moves us and gives us power. This is why we need power. This is why Christianity is a new life in the Spirit. It's not just more information about how to succeed. It's power. Jesus said, you will receive power. The power that raised Jesus from the dead has been given to us. And that power is the presence of the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit moving us to see Jesus, that its mission is to open up to us the reality of the majesty in the glory of God, and then to give us an affection and a powerful, life-changing, life-altering work within us that teaches us and gives us a real, genuine love for God and putting God first and putting Christ first. He becomes our prize, our treasure, our portion, not just the guy who we have to answer to like a school teacher. Are you getting your homework done? Are you following the rules like the school disciplinarian or something? No, it's just, that's how it gets when our hearts are not alive to the person of Christ and knowing his love and living in love. Instead, we're walking out Christianity as if it's a moral system primarily. It's about following rules and getting it right. And he who scores at the end, you know, gets the most kind of thing. It's not what it is. It's a new life in Christ. And it's a relationship. It's a relationship with him. And it's the Spirit that's producing in us this great affection for Christ and conviction about who he is and allows us to surrender and to walk in him. This, friends, is what the readings keep teaching us each day this week. And it happens again and again. So the scripture helps us see and say, okay, the angel spoke to me saying, come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. That's where human history is going. Human history is headed toward a marriage. Human history is not headed toward, you know, the kings of the earth and the masters of the universe getting us off this planet and us living in the cosmos on different planets, and we're going to make our way like Star Trek or something. The future of humanity is in a person. It's in Jesus Christ. And the church lives by a prophetic understanding of reality. That means a revelation. Understanding, it's been revealed who Christ is and where human history is going. And so the church is not only a bride, but the church is a prophet. Along with being priests and kings, we're prophets. because we help people see, we speak and we live in accord with ultimate reality and the ultimate destination of human history. The scriptures open with a marriage, Adam and Eve. It's going to end with the culmination, and the Father's preparing a bride for his beloved Son. And so this is what the saints lived with. This is one of the reasons why this reading is given on the feast of St. Bartholomew. There's other reasons too, I'm sure, but the saints lived with that gaze, friends, that powerful gaze, that knowing he's worth it all. I'm part of the bride right now, and he's the pearl of great price. He's the treasure hidden in the field, and I bought the field. I gave everything for him, and I'm responding to the movement of God within me. And so we see even the reading was Bartholomew was for yesterday, excuse me, but today's reading, building on that, I want to put these two together, is the reading from the continuation of Thessalonians. And Paul is talking about exhorting, again, talking about what he sees in the brothers and sisters. As you recall, brothers and sisters, our toil and our drudgery, working night and day in order not to burden you, any of you, we proclaim the gospel of God. How did Paul toil day and night in drudgery, many sleepless nights? For what purpose? To proclaim the good news of God to you. That's what he's doing. The good news is what? It includes this marriage that's in our future, what God is preparing. Paul saw the glory of Jesus and where the destiny of the human race is going. He said, you are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and how justly, blamelessly we work toward you. So he's describing how hard he worked to bring them into right relationship with God. And he said, as you know, we treated each one of you as a father treats his children, with love, which is ought to characterize the Christian community. We've got so much to learn, right? And how did he, as a father, relate to his people? This is what bishops are meant to be like, and priests and others say, we exhorted you, we encourage you. So exhortation, encouragement, even chastisement when it's needed. We've been seeing Jesus in the Gospels this week, the woes against the leadership that he brought. All of this is what good leadership entails that's rooted in love. He did this exhorting and encouraging and insisting on the things that the Lord communicated in the Gospel. He said, so that you might walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and his glory. Bartholomew, St. Bartholomew, again, here's a model who helps us see, what does it mean to walk in a manner worthy of God? I'm a person who's been called by God into his kingdom and ultimately into his glory. That's a reality we can come to see the way the saints did, friends, and it becomes the whole reason of our existence. And it gives us freedom and total direction and vision and meaning beyond anything we could even come up with in the world. And he says, and for this reason, we too give thanks to God unceasingly, that in receiving the word of God from hearing us, you receive not only the words of men, but truly the word of God, which is now at work in you who believe. The saints received the word of God and believed it. I delayed celebrating Bartholomew to today so that I could combine these things and help us see why the church keeps putting the saints in front of us. They live by this word. They believed in the ultimate destiny, and they live with that hope that gave them so much confidence that no matter what circumstance they were in, friends, they knew where their life was headed, and nothing could separate them from the love of God. That's your call. That's who you're meant to be. Let's walk in it together. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.